Welcome back to A Year of War and Peace, the podcast where we do in fact go from War and Peace Zero to War and Peace Hero in 1 year flat. We are up to book 11, chapter 11, and I just want to quickly say thank you to the newest Patreon subscriber. Just had a new one drop in, always very much appreciated, Jerry. Jerry, thank you very much for your $2 a month subscription. It means a lot to me. Alright, let's get on with this chapter. In the middle of this fresh tale, Pierre was summoned to the Commander-in-Chief. When he entered the private room, Count Rostopchin, puckering his face, was rubbing his forehead and eyes with his hand. A short man was saying something, but when Pierre entered, he stopped speaking and went out. Ah, how do you do, great warrior, said Rostopchin, as soon as the short man had left the room. We have heard of your prowess, but that's not the point. Between ourselves, monsieur, do you belong to the Masons? He went on severely, as though there were something wrong about it, which he nevertheless intended to pardon. Pierre remained silent. I am well informed, my friend, but I am aware that there are Masons, and Masons, and I hope that you are not one of those who on pretense of saving mankind, wish to ruin Russia. Yes, I am a Mason, Pierre replied. There, you see, monsieur, I expect you know that Messrs. Speransky and Magnitsky have been deported to their proper place. Mr. Klucharev has been treated in the same way, and so have others who, on the plea of building up the Temple of Solomon, have tried to destroy the temple of their fatherland. You can understand that there are reasons for this, and that I could not have exiled the postmaster had he not been a harmful person. It has now come to my knowledge that you lent him your carriage for his removal from town, and that you have even accepted papers from him for safe custody. I like you, and don't wish you any harm, and as you are only half my age, I advise you, as a father would, to cease all communication with men of that stamp and to leave here as soon as possible. But what did Klucharev do wrong, Count? Asked Pierre. That is for me to know, but not for you to ask, shouted Rostopchin. If he is accused of circulating Napoleon's proclamation, it is not proved that he did so, said Napoleon, without looking at Rostopchin. And Vereshchagin. There we are, Rostopchin shouted at Pierre louder than before, frowning suddenly. Vereshchagin is a renegade and a traitor who will be punished as he deserves, said he, with the vindictive heat with which people speak when recalling an insult. But I did not summon you to discuss my actions, but to give you advice, or an order, if you prefer it. I beg you to leave the town and break off all communications with such men as Klucharev, and I will knock the nonsense out of anybody. But, probably realizing that he was shouting at Bezukhov, who so far was not guilty of anything, he added, taking Pierre's hand in a friendly manner, We are on the eve of a public disaster, and I haven't time to be polite to everybody who has business with me. My head is sometimes in a whirl. Well, monsieur, what are you doing personally? Why, nothing, answered Pierre, without raising his eyes or changing the thoughtful expression of his face. The Count frowned. A word of friendly advice, monsieur, be off as soon as you can. That's all I have to tell you. Happy he who has ears to hear. Goodbye, my dear fellow. Oh, by the way, he shouted through the doorway after Pierre, is it true that the Countess has fallen into the clutches of the Holy Fathers of the Society of Jesus? Pierre did not answer, and left Rostopchin's room more sullen and angry than he had ever before shown himself. When he reached home, it was already getting dark. Some 8 people came to see him that evening: the secretary of a committee, the colonel of his battalion, his steward, his major domo, and various petitioners. They all had business with Pierre and wanted decisions from him. Pierre did not understand and was not interested in any of these questions, and only answered them in order to get rid of these people. When left alone at last, he opened and read his wife's letter. They, the soldiers at the battery, Prince Andrew, killed that old man. Simplicity is submission to God. Suffering is necessary. The meaning of all. One must harness. My wife is getting married. One must forget and understand. And going to bed, he threw himself on it without undressing and immediately fell asleep. When he awoke next morning, the major domo came to inform him that a special messenger, a police officer, had come from Count Rostopchin to know whether Count Bezukhov had left or was leaving the town. 12 persons who had business with Pierre were awaiting him in the drawing room. Pierre dressed hurriedly, and instead of going to see them, went to the back porch and out through the gate. From that time till the end of the destruction of Moscow, no one of Bezukhov's household, despite all the search they made, saw Pierre again, or knew where he was. Alright, there we go, another chapter down, and hey, not a good day to be Pierre. At first we've got this Rostopchin guy hurling accusations at him, saying that the Freemasons are some kind of French fraternizing conspirators or something like that, and blaming them for spreading the French propaganda. And he's accusing Pierre of being in leagues with these people. Well, I can imagine that's not exactly a pleasant feeling, to be accused of something like that. So he nicks off home, and he's inundated by people with business with him, bothering him, asking him to take care of this and that, which is the last thing he wants. He's just got back from Borodino, so you can imagine he's not in the mood to deal with these people. And then, of course, just the icing on the cake, he finds the letter from his wife, describing that she's leaving him and why. He kind of skim read through it in the text. It was interesting that towards the end of that chapter there, when I was reading the note, it was written in a strange way, which I'm not sure if it came across, but he was sort of skim reading it, so it was like bits and pieces of different sentences. So if it seemed like one big sentence that didn't make sense, it was because I wasn't pronouncing the ellipses well enough. Loudly enough, maybe. Got to enunciate my ellipses. Yeah, so, you know, you got to hand it to Pierre, really, for not completely flipping out. Maybe he was just too exhausted to flip out, but I felt for him. At the end of so much, he's been away at the war, and then he's been accused of being a traitor, and all this horrible stuff, and then end it with finding a letter from your wife explaining that she's leaving you. Just an awful, awful situation. Reddit user Cabo Thief said, "Mellow Yellow, you are a good guesser." And I think that's referring to this part from yesterday's chapter, when Mellow Yellow said that after finding out all this horrible stuff and all these terrible things happening to poor Pierre, I think Pierre is on the cusp of just saying, "F all this, F all you, I'm out of here." And when he finds out Helena's intentions, I think we won't see Pierre for a while. Where he will go, I don't know, but I don't think he will stay in Moscow. And then at the very end of this chapter, it mentioned that he disappeared for a little while. From then on, until the end of the devastation of Moscow, no one at the Bezukhov household, in spite of all their searching, saw any more of Pierre, or knew where he was. Turtle Vader says, "Pierre is accused of fraternizing with perceived traitors by Rostopchin. Do you think any of the Freemasons he mentioned are actually guilty, or is Rostopchin simply on a witch hunt?" Stratton Love said, Since the book doesn't really explore about what the other Freemasons do, and we're following Pierre on the journey, we're inclined to take the perspective that Rostopchin's on a witch hunt. You'd think he's got a hidden agenda, being so secretive and dismissive of Pierre's questions. It's a very emotional response, but he won't share the case he's built up against the people he's accusing of being traitors. Isn't that suspicious? Could be the case. There does seem to be a lot of scapegoating and finger-pointing happening at the moment. Could be that Rostopchin's just looking for someone to blame. Alright, that's going to do us for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening, and I will see you tomorrow.